You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Off and rolling on a Thursday, May 15, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That'd be Connor Dunning on X at CDunning929. Connor, what's the word, brother?
Y'all know the drill.
Yes, sir.
Thursday
you do.
Night, Hampline, 7 o'clock. We'll be playing general knowledge trivia. We'll have some playoff games going. You got good pizza. You got amazing beer. You got even better people. Come hang out at Hampline. Play some trivia. 7 to about 8:45. I'll play some Creed. We'll have a great time.
Great pizza, great beer, and even better people. That was a hell of a selling point. Good Lord.
It's almost like
you.
It's my job.
Well done, brother. Now, we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to open on the NBA playoffs, and I'm going to tell you why I don't think you should close the door on the Boston Celtics after they won Game 5 last night by 25, 127 to 102 over the New York Knicks. They're heading into MSG tomorrow, so we'll see how that goes. We'll cover the NBA playoffs as a whole. I want to also get to... We're 100 days away from the college football season, Connor. Can I get a round of applause, please? 100 days away. It's right around the corner. So we'll have some college football to talk about at 4:30, bottom half of this hour, with Greg McElroy, former Alabama quarterback, Mac and Cube in Birmingham. We know he's an ESPN college football analyst. That will be fun. He'll actually be at the Memphis Touchdown Club coming up on Monday. So if you want to get tickets, go to memphistdclub.com. And then 6 o'clock, we'll talk with Kyron Samuels about some college football. Nick Saban was on Feinbaum yesterday, and I don't think he gave President Trump the answer that President Trump wanted regarding the new commission that he's supposed to head up. We'll play that sound probably there in the second hour and discuss from there. And I'm going to pose an interesting question about Nick Saban and his beliefs regarding college football. Do we really want him sort of having unilateral decision-making power when it comes to a potential commission, executive orders, federal government intervention? Do we want him to be the guy that ultimately makes these decisions? Because I have his sort of repertoire of plans when it comes to the changes in college athletics, some good, some not so good. Some we can have a debate about. Also, on top of Greg McElroy at 4:30 and Kyron Samuels at 6, we'll have Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock. We'll get into the Blitz at 6:30, and that will be the show for you. Just ironed it out. Now, a PGA Championship got going today at Quail Hollow, and this is the fakest leaderboard I've ever seen in my entire life. This is a Thursday leaderboard. Tell me when you recognize a name, Connor. Cam Davis at the top. Ryan Gerard at number 2. Luke Donald at 3. Ryan Fox tied for 3rd. Alex Smalley, Stefan Jaeger, Alex Noren, JT Poston, Matt Fitzpatrick, there we go. He's tied for 7th, same with Keegan Bradley. But this has got to be the fakest leaderboard I've ever seen. I'm not a big golf guy. I'm not, by any stretch of the imagination, some golf analyst. But what I do know is this is the type of leaderboard that doesn't usually hold through a major, through the weekend as we get to Sunday.
Are we sure it's not the cast list for Happy Gilmore 2?
I'm not positive on that. I don't know. We do have a guy who just got off air who knows about golf. Very smart golf analyst. And Jeffrey Wright, so maybe we'll have to ask him about that. But it could very well be the cast list for Happy Gilmore, too. When is that release, by the way?
Soon.
Soon?
Soon. I think it's in, like, the next few months. Yeah. Okay. I'll look it up.
Okay. Now, last night, we did have some NBA playoff action. Of course, the Celtics and Knicks, Game 5. And then the Timberwolves closed out the Warriors with their Game 5 as well. But the Celtics won at home, 127-102. I'm going to ask this real quick, Connor, to get you involved. Is Derek White an all-star?
Derek White is an all-star, baby, a future Grizzly.
It feels like he might be an all-star here relatively soon. 34 points, 7 for 13 from 3. What he was able to do last night. It's not really overly surprising. We've seen him have these types of games in the playoffs, but he was so good last night. So damn good. But, you know, he just shows up on a consistent basis. And with Jason Tatum out, you saw the green light there, and the green light was good for him, very good for him. Luke Kornet game, 10 points, 9 rebounds, 7 blocks. He had 5 blocks in the third quarter. He was 5 for 5 from the field, and he played really because Kristaps Porzingis had to sit down. And Joe Mazzulla said, you know, why Kristaps sat down. He said, quote, unquote, he couldn't breathe. So I don't know what that is about. Still very concerning. One of the strangest situations I've ever seen with that level of player. Because if you go back to the regular season, we had to sit out a stretch of games. They called it an unidentified virus. They've said it's an upper respiratory type thing that is lingering. But they have not been able to figure out what's wrong with Kristaps Porzingis. And they have brought in people from Cleveland. They've had their team doctors. Some of the best doctors in the United States of America. And they still can't figure out what's wrong with Kristaps Porzingis from night to night.
He looks like a zombie out
there. It's insane. I'm concerned. I'm very concerned for him. I'm almost at the point, Connor, where it's like, go to the Mayo Clinic, go overseas right now, because obviously you're not really helping the Celtics in any meaningful way. He's 5 for 18 from the field in this series. Go deal with what you need to deal with right now, because if they can't figure it out, you have to go figure it out. You have to understand what's going on. I think they've ruled out mono. I think they've ruled out things like that. I don't know if they know about it behind the scenes. They're trying to keep it, you know, private for Kristaps or what. But it's strange. But Luke Kornet, in his absence, that was unbelievable. He was all over the floor.
He turned into Bill Russell.
And to see him out on the perimeter switching. He had a block on a Josh Hart three-pointer. There was one possession where he contested 2 three-pointers that bricked. He was all over the damn place. I don't know what to think about that. You know, Jason Tatum, when he's been out, Luke Kornet has naturally stepped up his game. You get deeper in the rotation, he plays a little bit more, that type of thing. But also there is the thought that, you know, role players play better at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know anything about
it at home,
but Luke Kornet was awesome last night.
Luke Kornet was amazing.
10 points, 9 rebounds, 7 blocks. This really was the quote unquote Luke Kornet game. I'll remember this for a bit of time, especially if the Celtics come back in this series.
Yeah. Luke Kornet plays really well at home this season. And the Celtics are so interesting because this year they would selectively sit Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And in those games, if you go back and you look, Luke Kornet almost every single time had a really good basketball game. And like you said, role players always play well at home. He was massive last night. And the adjustments that the Celtics made were what we were asking them to do the last few games. They were attacking the rim, which was leading to more open shots. Their three-point looks a lot bigger than it is just because Derek White caught absolute fire from there, so he was 7 for 13. But the rest of the team wasn't really taking a ton of threes. They were getting to the rim, they were getting to the mid-range, and that's where they were scoring the basketball. He finally, once again, unleashed Peyton Pritchard. He gave him 39 minutes, been calling for the entire series. You had Drew Holiday on Jalen Brunson more and not having Derek White on him.
And
Jalen Brown was on him.
I think you can carry over.
You put bigger defenders on him. That is something that could carry over. It was interesting, though, because, you know, I don't know if it's a Jason Tatum thing necessarily. I think it's more of a when Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum play together, their offense is pretty much one of them is going to dribble for a little bit and then either pass it to the other or they pass it to the other or they're going to take the shot.
Yep.
When they're not in there, it's more free-flowing. You spread the wealth a little bit more. You're getting better shots. You're switching more. You're cutting more. And that's what they were doing last night. It was one of those where I think a few things happened. One, you were at home. It was a must-win game against a rival. So they played their asses off. I think Jason Smith mentioned it earlier on their show. There was probably a little bit of let's do it for Tatum in that game as well. They made some big-time adjustments, most notably I think attacking the rim, getting Peyton Pritchard more minutes, sitting down Kristaps Porzingis, and putting a bigger defender on Jalen Brunson. That led to a lot of success for the Boston Celtics. And that's why, you know, could the Celtics make this a series again? Maybe. They might be able to, but last night was a fun game to watch. And then Luke Kornet. Have I told you the story about Luke Kornet?
I think, refresh me, I think you have.
Last year, so Luke Kornet went to Vanderbilt.
Yes.
One of my best friends.
And he's older than you think, by the way. He is finished there in 2017.
He played for the Knicks for a long time. George, when I walked in, was like starting center for the New York Knicks, Luke Kornet. And back in the day, Luke Kornet used to bomb threes. Yep. He just doesn't shoot threes anymore. He's just such a
He's the
smart
NCAA
player.
Leader in threes for guys over 7 foot.
Yeah, and that's why. And now he's just like, nope, I'm going to be in the right spots at the right time. I don't even know if he knows how to dribble. Like, just catches and puts it up. He's always in the right spot. He's always cutting well. Luke Kornet's just a really good player. But Luke Kornet went to Vanderbilt. And one of my best friends also went to Vanderbilt. Happened to have a class with Luke Kornet. He got his phone number. Last year, the Boston Celtics won the NBA championship. After they won the championship, we all hopped on and played a video game together. I think it was Fortnite or something. And my buddy said, I just realized I have Luke Kornet's phone number. And we all said, send it to us immediately. So all of us texted Luke Kornet, congratulations on winning the NBA championship. And Luke Kornet, being the good dude he was, responded to all of us saying thank you. Clearly didn't know who any of us were.
Good for y'all not doing the Jax Olbrick, Shador Sanders prank call.
Yeah, no, we did not do that. But we shot him a text and said, hey, man, congratulations on winning the NBA championship. And Luke Kornet, being the good guy he was, responded to all of us. My buddy got a different response because he actually still had his number saved too. And named him and said, thank you for letting me know. So it was a fun little moment. Since I've always been rooting for Luke Kornet.
Luke Kornet, a dude's dude. Guy's guy.
A dude's dude.
Shout out. Jaylen Brown, though, last night, 12 assists to 2 turnovers. It's amazing to see when Jason Tatum's out and you give him the opportunity, even though we talk about his left all the time and his lack of dribble moves, when he gets the opportunity to be the main creator, he does it. He does a really good job with it. But the reason that the Celtics won, one, I think being at home helped. But they were 52% from the field, and they played really good defense on the Knicks, and the Knicks were 35% from the field. Celtics also had 22 made three-pointers. That ties their franchise playoff record, even without Jason Tatum. And when we look at the two wins they've had in this series versus the three losses, in the two wins they've had 21 three-pointers made versus 14 when they have lost. They also shoot 47% from three when they win, and they're 29% in their three losses. Not that surprising when you look at the way they've been playing and the results. Not that surprising. But the Celtics did look good last night. And I expected, to a certain extent, just looking at the situation without Jason Tatum and the Achilles and, you know, the future is all in flux, I expected to see a demoralized team. With Tatum out, who's going to facilitate? Can they score enough without Tatum? Those questions were answered in a big way, and they got by wonderfully without Jason Tatum. And let me be clear. I absolutely hate the crowd who loves to claim Team A, whoever it is better without their star player. It happened with the Grizzlies a few years ago when Tyus Jones filled in for Ja. We remember that, but we know the Grizzlies are better with Ja than without him. Now, humor me for a moment, Connor. Humor me for a moment, because I have some statistics in regards to when Jason Tatum plays with the Celtics versus when he's off the floor. And in this postseason, with and without Jason Tatum, with Tatum, they're 4-4. Without him, they're 2-0. With him, they score 105 points per game. Without him, they score 118. With him, field goal percentage goes from 44 to, without him, 48. 3-point field goal percentage, 35 with him, 39 without him. Their net rating, Connor, their net rating with him, plus 7.6, without him, plus 21.4. Then let's go to this season in general. This season in general, with Tatum on the floor, this is regular season and playoffs combined, 57-23 with Tatum, really good mark, no hating on that. They're 10-2 without him. Point differential per game, 8 with him, 11 without him. Their net rating with him, 9. Without him, 12. Then the last two seasons with Tatum, or without Tatum, including the playoffs, they're 17-3. That winning percentage would be first in the NBA. Points per game without Tatum, last two seasons, including the playoffs, 119. That would be the number one mark in the NBA. Opponent points per game without Tatum, that it's 105. That would be first in the NBA without Tatum. Point differential per game, 13.8. That would be first in the NBA. Are you seeing a trend here? They are a very good team without Jason Tatum. And let's get to Jason Tatum's impact on Jaylen Brown in this postseason. With Tatum, they're 4-4. Without Tatum, Jaylen Brown, 2-0. His points per game with Tatum, 20.1. Without, 31.
Wow, that's a big difference.
Rebounds per game go from 6-9. Assists per game, 2-8. Field goal percentage, 41-58. 3-point percentage, 23-66.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Now, with all of these stats, these, to me, aren't stats to hang your hat on and confirm your biases about Jason Tatum and the Celtics being better without him. I don't think that's the whole truth. These stats can be skewed, you know, when you look at that 17-3 record the last couple of seasons without Jason Tatum. Maybe they were playing the Hornets. They like to send him out against bad teams.
Right.
There's some things that you can look at, and these stats can be skewed. But what these stats should do for you, they should show you how good this Celtics team still is.
Right.
Without Jason Tatum. And it should make it pretty clear to you, because it's made it clear to me, this series is far from over. Even heading to MSG, this team plays differently without Jason Tatum. The Knicks have to make an adjustment based on what we saw last night, and this team is still really good top to bottom. So I'm not closing the door on the Celtics still somehow wiggling their way to a Game 7 at TD Garden and potentially winning it. This would be, obviously, we don't have a lot of history with it. Teams that are up 3-1 in a series win 94% of the time in the NBA playoffs history. I get that. But this Celtics team is still damn good and poses a lot of different issues for a Knicks team that's getting later in the series, that's played a lot of games already.
Right. I think that those stats highlight more of how good the depth for the Boston Celtics is than they are really about Jason Tatum. They do play differently, though, without Tatum out there or without Brown out there. If one of those guys isn't out there, the team plays a little bit more free on the offensive end. We've said all playoffs and we've said all year that the Achilles heel for this Boston Celtics team is they can get stagnant on offense because it turns into Brown or Tatum taking a step back three or taking a contested shot. When they're not out there, you have to feed everybody a little bit more. I'll also add in those stats, you had a healthy Kristaps Porzingis, who is a 20-point per game scorer when he is actually healthy. So that is one thing that is included in those stats. Last night was just really interesting because I said it to you as soon as you got in. The playoffs in the NBA can be so funny sometimes how going into this game, you were like, oh, the Knicks got it, the Knicks got it, the Knicks got it. As soon as they lose this basketball game, all of a sudden, all of the pressure in the world is on Game 6 in the Garden because the Knicks have, it feels like they almost have to win that game. You do not want to go back to Boston for a Game 7.
Right.
Do I still think the Knicks will win this series? Probably so, because you don't have Jason Tatum. And they just played really poorly in Game 5. Nobody really showed up outside of Josh Hart. Jalen Brunson wasn't very good. Karl-Anthony Towns was terrible.
Yep.
You know, the dumb Karl-Anthony Towns that we saw in Minnesota, he showed up for the Knicks last night. Just horrific fouls. Away from the basketball. For some reason, he's allergic to putting his back to the basket when there's nobody on the Celtics right now that can defend him. Kristaps Porzingis can't breathe right now, and you have a 40-year-old Al Horford. And for some reason, he's not attacking the rim. Is it because Luke Kornet turned into Bill Russell and he freaked you out last night? What's going on? Put your big ass back to the basket and go score. It's driving me crazy when I watch Karl-Anthony Towns getting fouls 25 feet away from the basket.
Right.
Take your 7-foot ass down to the paint and do something. Drives me nuts. OG Anunoby was terrible last night. Mikal Bridges was terrible last night. The whole team didn't show up. They weren't ready to go. Mitchell Robinson all of a sudden turned into a perfect shooter from the free throw line. It was one of the weirdest nights I have seen from the Knicks. I expect them to bounce back, but that door is open now.
Yes.
And you better not play with the Boston Celtics, because we know, even without Jason Tatum, that
they're
team
damn good.
Can shoot the leather off of the basketball sometimes. And they've made these adjustments, and every time they've made these adjustments, it's messed with the Knicks. So Joe Mazzulla has to tell this Celtics team, do exactly what you did last game. He doesn't need to change anything. Don't go back to 63s a game. Attack the rim. Get open shots. Let Jaylen Brown cook a little bit.
Be more selective. It's that simple.
Keep bigger guards on Jaylen Brunson and see what you can do. And just hope to God that Karl-Anthony Towns plays dumb basketball again. Because we've seen him do it twice in this series already. And guess what? The Celtics have 2 wins because of it.
Yep. All right. Now, last night, Warriors knocked out. Gone. I'm happy to see it. Let's give a round of applause to the Minnesota Timberwolves for making that happen. 121-110, they win Game 5, and it was behind some good efforts, as we've seen from Anthony Edwards. He was 8-for-15 from the field, 5-for-9 from 3, 12 assists, by the way, last night. Really good for him. Still, turnovers were a bit high, but didn't really much matter. And then Julius Randle. I mean, this is the best ball I've ever seen him play in the playoffs. I mean, when we look at his averages when he was with the Knicks for 15 postseason games, he only averaged 17 points per game on 38% from the field. So far, with the Minnesota Timberwolves, 23 points per game on 51% from the field.
Pretty good.
The fit for him and this Timberwolves team is great. And I want to revisit what we talked about this offseason with Karl-Anthony Towns, Julius Randle trade. I there was a lot of people that were wondering, like, you made it to the Western Conference Finals. Why don't you run it back? One, they wanted to get cheaper. They wanted to help their window stay open.
They need more shooting.
But two, Julius Randle fits, to me, a tad bit better than Karl-Anthony Towns did with Anthony Edwards, and that's showing in the playoffs thus far.
You also got Dante DiVincenzo.
Yes, Dante DiVincenzo as well. That was a really good piece off the bench. Mike Conley last night, turning it back to the Obama administration.
The Obama administration, Mike
that?
Conley.
16 points,
nice
6 rebounds, 8 assists, 5-for-7 from the field, 4-for-6 from 3, only 2 turnovers to his 8 assists. So that was fun to see. And this Timberwolves team, I want to see what they look like in the Western Conference Finals, but they showed that it's not a fluke anymore.
Right.
It's not a fluke. All year, Chris Finch mentioned this yesterday. He was sort of sending this message, you know, people are talking about you getting the Western Conference being a fluke. Prove that it's not. They prove that by winning these two series. Now, granted, veteran-laden teams that were smaller than them, they had the matchup advantage, all that. So good for the Timberwolves. Another thing I noticed, you know, for the second straight year, the new era is here, Connor. The new era of the NBA is here, especially in playoff basketball. Steph, Bron, Kawhi, KD, Giannis all at home at the same time. Before the conference finals for the second straight year.
Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler as well. Example number 1 million that sports are really a young man's game. And the only difference with this particular generation is these old guys have just taken forever to put away. Like Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant have just completely warped our view of what old players are actually supposed to do. It's not normal what we've seen from these guys. Now, let's get into this. The Warriors heading into the offseason. I think the obvious thing, the easy thing for everyone to say is that the Warriors' reign is over. The Warriors won't be back. We don't really buy into the Warriors going into the future. But I will say this. I'm not going to fully stand on that side. I know history. I know what these guys are capable of. Even when they were old, we saw them win a championship a couple of years ago. Steph Curry's still great. He's going to come back. It's not some lingering issue with his hamstring. We'll see. He's going to be 37, 38 years old, so maybe it is, but doesn't seem like a lingering issue. He's had good health in the past. Draymond Green's still around, although he was terrible in the series, and I want to point that out. He was up for Defensive Player of the Year. Julius Randle cooked him this entire series. Absolutely cooked him. He shot over 50% when Draymond Green was the main defender. absolutely killed him. And Draymond Green did nothing offensively after game one. Just absolutely nothing. I want to point that out. Jimmy Butler's still going to be there. I think the obvious way forward for the Warriors, and I'm going to steal this from a guy, Jason Maples. I know he's a, you know, AAU coach. He's coached at the college level before basketball. He basically posed a question yesterday about, you know, the Warriors and what they need to do this offseason. And he said that the higher-ups, the GM, the organization needs to ask themselves this question when they're going to get talent this offseason. Is the player that we're going to acquire, that we're going to bring in, an NBA player without Steph Curry? Think about the guys in this rotation in the playoffs. It was brutal. You have Trayce Jackson-Davis out there. You have Quentin Post playing minutes. Gui Santos got consistent minutes. You need to ask yourself some real questions about the level of talent you're bringing in and how much Steph Curry, when he plays with these guys, hides their flaws. They simply, and I know the Anthony Melton injury, and they had injuries, and they had to make some trades, all that. But at the end of the day, they don't have enough good NBA players. And Steph Curry hides so much, and as soon as he goes out in the series, you see it. You see they don't have a worthwhile roster if Steph Curry is not on the floor. So they need to have some tough conversations within that organization about who are we going to go get? What are we going to do with Jonathan Kuminga? They need NBA players on that roster. So I'm not going to shut the door completely. Obviously, they only have a little bit of runway left with Draymond Green and Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler at their particular ages. But if they get some decent role players, some decent pieces, some proven experience, I think they could be right in the same spot next year.
Yeah, they'll be in a similar situation. Because if Steph was healthy in this series, it would have been longer. I still think the Timberwolves would have won this series, but it probably would have gone 6 or 7 at least. The Warriors just don't have serviceable NBA players outside of a few guys. You got Pods, you got Draymond, you got Jimmy Butler, you got Steph, you got Kuminga. Then who else you got?
Yeah.
You have players who play hard, and every once in a while they can have some moments. I mean, Gary Payton II, Moses Moody, they're good guys, but that's not enough. Kevon Looney, that's not enough. He's older now.
Moses Moody not proven in the playoffs either, hasn't really shown you all that much. Jonathan Kuminga in the playoffs when he gets 20-plus or points, they're 0-7.
They don't have a center. They simply do not have a center.
They don't. They need to get bigger as well. Like, there's a lot of things about that roster to like when it comes to Draymond, Steph, and Jimmy.
Yeah.
And potentially Jonathan Kuminga going in the future.
Well, that's why
they have to just get better around the edges. And it's so obvious when you see Gui Santos playing 10 minutes, when you see Quentin Post get forced into action for 10 minutes. You just need better pieces.
Yeah, and that's why today you're seeing some rumblings that if the Bucks blow it up, that like Brook Lopez might be a name for the Warriors, and he would be a good fit for them. He's an older player too, though.
It fits their timeline.
He certainly fits their timeline. They're going to have to do something with Jonathan Kuminga. He certainly can't be there next year. It's just not a good fit. He and Steve Kerr, and his timeline doesn't match the rest of the team. Jimmy Butler, you know, unfortunately, in this series, one of the reasons you and I did not want to trade for Jimmy Butler and give him that money was he can't do Jimmy Butler.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Butler things anymore. The Jimmy Butler from 3 or 4 years ago is not the Jimmy Butler that exists now, and people have got to stop pretending those are the same people. He can't put a team on his back.
I think he was banged up as well after the Amen Thompson situation.
Sure.
So there's that. Also, I have two words for you in regards to why Jimmy Butler didn't show up in the same way as he has in the past with the Heat and why he couldn't just will this Warriors team without Steph Curry to a series win over the Timberwolves. Western Conference. Those are my two words. Western Conference. It's easy in the East. Let's be honest. The type of defenses, the type of talent you're seeing in the East is just not on the same level as what you see in the West.
It's different.
It's completely different. And when you're talking about that Timberwolves team, the length, the size, the athletic ability, you're just not going to be able to finish at the rim, get to the free throw line the same way as you did when you were with the Heat playing the Pacers and like all these other teams in the Eastern Conference. It's just not the same thing. That's, to me, the explanation. I sent you a text last night about it. I just feel like the real explanation beyond the injury and maybe being banged up, I feel like the Western Conference is just a different beast.
It's
hard
it's
for Jimmy
no
Butler to just sit there and will a team by himself in the Western Conference to a series win.
One more thing about the Timberwolves before we get to break. In the last 36 games that Julius Randle has played, they are 30-6.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Pretty good.
He's been awesome, man. Best playoff performance we have seen from him in his career. Like I said, looking back at his Knicks days, 15 games in the postseason, 17 points per game on 38% shooting. In his young Timberwolves career, 24 points per game on 51%. That's a stark difference. A stark difference, and clearly, I feel like the situation for him as a number two to Anthony Edwards, clearly a better fit. All right, now let's go ahead and talk some college football. We're 100 days away. So Greg McElroy, who will be at the Memphis Touchdown Club coming up on Monday. We are 100 days away from the start of the college football season, and Greg McElroy has carved out some time to talk with us on X at Greg McElroy, conveniently co-host of Mac and Cube with Cole Kubelik in Birmingham on Jocks, and of course, ESPN college football analyst and national championship quarterback. That's worth mentioning. Greg, how's it going? Thanks for joining.
Dave, thanks for having me, guys. Hope you are well.
Yes, sir. I have to start here. Alabama. How do you feel about your alma mater heading into this year? Obviously, some questions at the quarterback position. Ty Simpson, Austin Mack. Defense still looks like it's put together. Offensive line seems to be put together. But we know quarterback's the most important position on the field. How do you feel about your team heading into next season?
Well, I feel pretty good about them. You know, I mean, I think Kalen DeBoer, a lot of people will point to last year's inconsistencies, and there were a lot of highs and there were a lot of lows. I mean, this is a team that ran LSU out of their own building late in the year. It's a team that went and handled Georgia and played as well as they could possibly play in the first half of that game. And it was pretty amazing, honestly, when you look at just how good that team was and at the times that they were. But there were also some low moments, and I think that kind of went into the aspect of you see a team is kind of figuring out their coach, and a coach is trying to figure out his team. You know what I mean? I think that there was at times, I'm not saying necessarily a disconnect, but which buttons to press when. And I think there's a process of feeling that out as a coach. And I think feeling it out from a player's perspective of how do I get the most out of my coach? How does my coach get the most out of me? So I think last year was a lot of trial and error. As a result, there was tons of swings in performance, but at the same time, I think I'm really bullish on what they have back. But part of that has to do with the fact that everybody in the SEC is kind of has question marks.
Sure.
It's not like there's that guaranteed team you point to. It's like, oh yeah, they can't miss this year. Every single team. And I think the win totals that Vegas released today or yesterday reflect that. There's three teams sitting at 9.5 wins and everybody else is beneath that, which is kind of rare considering where the SEC has been in recent years.
Yeah. Now what I hear from a lot of Alabama fans is regardless of the quarterback situation and the offense sort of coming into their own as the season goes along, there is this idea that they can lean on that defense. There's a lot of guys returning. Deontay Lawson at the linebacker position, Quay Rousseau, stud, Keon Sabb in the secondary. Do you sort of echo those sentiments that I have heard from other Alabama fans that this defense really is the real deal?
Well, I think the defense came such a long way from – and it was a complete scheme adjustment from what Nick Saban ran, which, not to get into the weeds, but it was kind of a man type of defense to where they went last year, where it was pretty much zone defense kind of across the board. That's completely different. Now, I think most people would say, oh, how different can it be? It's just defense. Well, from a technique standpoint, from what the guys were recruited to do, from a comfort standpoint, the reps that they had running man versus what they were trying to do now in a new scheme, it was very, very different. And I think it started to pay dividends as the season went along. I mean, they had some ups and downs early in the season. I mean, the low point being Vanderbilt, where Vandy, I think, scored 40 or whatnot, and they couldn't stop him, and they had no answer for him whatsoever. But things settled down as the season went along, and that defense played really well down the stretch. Now, the offense had ebbs and flows, but the defense was steady. And I think they have really good personnel and good leadership on that side of the ball as well, with established guys that have played a lot of football. So last year's group two, they were outrageously banged up. I mean, they're just crazy thin. If you look at their numbers in the portal going into last season, when Nick Saban retired, the portal opened up, and they lost 46 players. And that's
right.
Impossible to backfill. I mean, no matter how well you recruit and how good your players are, I mean, you're going to get thin in a hurry, and you have an injury or two here and there, and you're dead. And I think they kind of battled through that and kind of were playing their best football at the end of the season as a result of some of the trials and tribulations the first eight games presented. So I think that is definitely going to be their calling card, is defense around the football. But like I said, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, how their quarterback will play and how the offense, if they can create some consistency and not make mistakes, then they have as good a chance as anybody to win the SEC.
So you brought up the SEC win totals, and I did find them interesting. Nobody at 10.5. Obviously, in the Big Ten, you have three teams at 10.5. But the 9.5 teams, you have Alabama, Georgia, and Texas. 8.5, LSU, Ole Miss, Tennessee. And then you have Auburn, Mizzou, South Carolina, A&M at 7.5. And then I think a couple of wild cards at 6.5 in Florida and Oklahoma. Who, when you looked at these, you know, win totals, anybody overvalued or undervalued in your opinion?
Well, the team that I think is undervalued is Oklahoma. They made major upgrade at quarterback. They went and got a new offensive coordinator in Ben Arbuckle. And I think that position in particular, the quarterback and coordinator working in tandem, is just so important for college football. And John Mateer, the quarterback, kind of set the world on fire last year at Washington State. And I think if you look at what Cam Ward did, Cam Ward was at Washington State, transferred to Miami last year, was one of the best players in the country. And once he was finally surrounded with a great supporting cast, people started to realize that. He ends up going number one overall in the NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans, and was in the mix for the Heisman Trophy really from start to finish all of last year. So I think John Mateer's growth and people finally figuring out what he's capable of. He's got his coordinator from Washington State there with him. They've made some great portal additions, and them sitting there at 6.5. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a brutal schedule, extremely difficult schedule, and they're going to have to win some coin flip games. But that's a team that I think is being slept on kind of universally, and based on what they've returned and the continuity that they have on the defensive side and some of the personnel that they have on the both lines of scrimmage, that should be a tough out for a lot of teams this year.
All right, so Greg, as a quarterback, you know that position like the back of your hand. I am curious what you think about the crop of quarterbacks in college football this year. You have some returners and some guys we expect to be good and potential NFL draft picks. Cade Klubnik. You look at a guy like Garrett Nussmeier. That's sort of the crop I'm talking about, returners that we expect a lot from. But there's a lot of unproven talent around the country. You look at Dante Moore at Oregon. You look at, you know, we'll see what Lenora Sellers can do for another year. What do you think at large about this quarterback crop going into the 25-26 season?
Well, there's a lot of expectations, but there's also a lot of unknown. I mean, I think the best example of that is probably Arch Manning, right? I mean, everybody
right.
is excited about what Arch is going to do, and I couldn't be more bullish on his development and his pedigree and how Steve Sarkisian and the Texas Longhorns have kind of brought him along. He got some playing time last year, had a couple starts, but most of his production statistically was against lower tier defenses. Now he's going to have to go up against the best in the country. So I think that's going to be something worth watching is that, you know, Arch Manning and several of these guys, yes, they have tons of talent and they have, you know, a huge, huge opportunity in front of them. But there's a lot of unproven guys that are just going to have to go out there and do it. And then you have some guys that if we were to have this conversation last year, I'd tell you that Carson Beck's one of the best quarterbacks
sure.
in the country, if not the best quarterback in the country. And last year was kind of an up and down year for Georgia offensively. And his performance was both up and down. And I also think, too, I mean, Carson Beck now has kind of taken over for that Cam Ward spot at Miami. And he's got a great supporting cast. So I think we could be in a situation a year from now where there's guys that have proven themselves that are top tier guys. And there are also potentially guys that maybe fell out of favor in the eyes and the court of public opinion, but still have all the talent and the game that you could possibly want and could find their way, you know, to the top of the NFL draft. So I think it's a great year for quarterbacks. This past year was about as, I don't want to say as bad as it gets, but as many questions as it could possibly get from an NFL perspective.
Right.
But this year, I think you got a bunch of gems that are kind of waiting to kind of see what the pecking order might be next April.
All right. Now, looking around the country, I'm very curious your thoughts. There's a lot of people that are bullish in the Big Ten on Penn State, and they're one of those teams when the win totals were published, I think is Oregon and Ohio State. They're all 10.5 when it comes to their season win totals. But Drew Aller as a quarterback, you bring back that running back room, deny Dennis Sutton, a really good defensive end. The defense is usually good there, and they hold up in the Big Ten. It feels like people are drinking the Kool-Aid of Penn State because of all the returners they have. Where are you on Penn State after a year, a really successful year in the college football playoff semifinal?
Well, I think if you're going into the season trying to figure out, all right, what are the question marks, right? And I think a lot of us, and those of us that have played and or coached, everybody doesn't necessarily look at, oh, we're great here, we're great here, we're great here. They kind of look at, all right, what can get us? Like, what's our Achilles heel? What mm-hmm. should we be concerned about? And that's how coaches are wired, and I think that's how most players are wired. I think Penn State, along with Clemson, have the fewest question marks. A lot of the people that are back have proven it on a very high level. A lot of the people that are back have shown us with playoff experience that they've been in that spotlight and in many cases have performed. So I think Penn State is one of those teams that if you're looking for question marks, they have very few. But they're also one of those teams that has yet to really get over the hump mm-hmm. against some of their peers there in the Big Ten. And this is one of those years too. And if you look at Michigan 2 years ago, Ohio State this past year, the teams in the Big Ten have kind of, it's almost like they've circled years, and this is that year that's been circled for Penn State.
Yes.
They have a ton of guys that are back. They have a ton of veteran players that have played at a high level that have all played together. There's great continuity. Their starter at quarterback is going into year three. They have running backs that have been playing now for 4 years, tandem running backs that are both excellent. Their offensive line should be rock solid, and defensively they've been good for a long time, and they just added Ohio State's defensive coordinator, Jim Knowles, to call the play. So that's a big coup as well. So I think they have everything that you could possibly want. Now it's just about exercising those demons and beating a team like Ohio State and winning those games against top tier competition, because they have not always performed very well in those big games. So hopefully they can buck that trend, but that hasn't really been the case for James Franklin in his time there in college and in State College.
All right. Now, Greg, notice I started talking some ball because we still have some things to iron out when it comes to all the extracurriculars, the off-season conversations, NIL, transfer portal, all that nonsense. But your former coach, according to multiple reports, Nick Saban is going to be on this federal commission looking over this presidential commission from President Trump regarding college athletics. What did you make of that? And when you talk about your former coach, how much do you believe in him to be one of the biggest change makers when it comes to sort of getting everything under control in college football?
Well, I mean, who's more equipped? than Nick Saban to speak on where the college football world is right now. I mean, I don't think there is anybody. I mean, the guy lived it every day for 17 years and has seen the transition and has seen the change and has seen both the good and bad that comes with the new world that we're currently living in. And it's going to be interesting, I think, to see exactly what change can actually be enacted, because I think that'll be very difficult because there's such fear of litigation and so right. many challenges that are being had in the courts and, you know, who wants to do what and can they get sued for this and all that. But, I mean, our only chance of maintaining where we're at in college football and hopefully settling things down is with people at the federal level getting involved. That's the yeah. only chance we have. And by the way, I don't think college football is broken by any stretch. Like, you choose to consume it however you want to consume it. If you want to consume it every day for 365 days a year, then you're probably going to be a little disgruntled with where we're at as a sport. But if you want to watch the play and the quality on the field, it's as good as it's ever been. So I think it all kind of depends on your perspective as a fan. I think we are tremendously healthy when we get between the white lines on game day. But I do think that we have to be smart about what changes we might make in the college football world, because if it becomes too unrecognizable to the fans that have supported the sport for generations, then we could run the risk of losing some people that have been remarkably loyal for a very long time. But at the same time, I mean, I think progress can be good too. And I'm optimistic about the changes that could be had in the playoff. I'm optimistic about the changes that could be had when it comes to NIL structure and kind of putting a salary cap on things, because I don't want to cap anybody's earning potential. But at the same time, I also don't want teams to have an unfair advantage because they have four times more living alumni than other teams that are trying to be competitive. So I just want to be equal across the board and try to create competitive balance. And if we can do that, then we'll be in great shape as a sport.
All right, now, purely hypothetical situation. If I asked you, Greg McElroy, to enact an executive order and you had that type of power, what would be that executive order? What would be the one thing right now that you think is the most pressing issue that you would make sure you fixed if you could do it tomorrow?
I would make alterations to the transfer portal.
Right.
Because I think that sometimes as a kid, and I was a kid, I played college football at 19. I'm sure there were moments in which I was disgruntled. Like, of course, like, who isn't? Like, if you're not starting and you know, competing, then you're going to probably at times be a little disgruntled as a player. And as a result, when I was in school, if you decided to transfer or go elsewhere, it was somewhat prohibitive because you would lose a year of eligibility. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying the guys need to lose a year of eligibility. I don't like that. I think coaches leave on several different occasions, and I feel like, you know, if they're allowed to move, then players should, in a way, be allowed to move as well. But in saying that, when you look at guys that are playing 5 years of football and playing for four different schools, I don't think that's good for anyone's development either. So I would shrink the transfer portal window. I would put it in May. I would start at May 1st through May 31st. And the transfer portal could, at that point, be used the way it was intended to be used, to allow teams to backfill their roster if they're short at a specific spot, that can go and get a guy out of the portal. And it would make guys think twice about, well, can I earn a starting job in 3 months before we kick off? So maybe they'd be more inclined to stay where they're at and acknowledge that the grass is not always greener and that the best place for my development might actually be at the place that I'm currently at. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be the biggest thing that I would adjust. I also think, too, that if we reemphasized high school recruiting, that would be good for the sport and the sport's health as well. High school players can arrive in January, and if transfer portals players can't arrive until May, that I think could be beneficial, and more teams would say, you know what, we're better off getting the high school kid now, so let's go recruit high school kids, and then we can backfill with veterans that are on their second chance a little later in the year if we don't have the numbers that we need in certain spots. So I think that would be the adjustment that I would make, and I think that would be beneficial for the sport.
And I like that because, you know, something that has been de-incentivized, whether it's basketball or football, it's high school recruiting, because those guys can leave, and if they don't play early, they feel a type of way, and they find and, you know, explore their options. But the high school recruiting and the high school recruit, like, I went to the University of Memphis. I would have never gone D1 in this day and age. Two-star recruit out of St. Louis, but there's no way I would have gotten a D1 offer. I would have probably been FCS or D2. It feels like high school recruits have been absolutely slapped down by the way the transfer portal is going right now.
Well, the one pushback I would say, if I'm going to play devil's advocate there, is that there is a true meritocracy that's created, that if you go to a smaller school and perform, then the opportunity will be made available to you to go transfer elsewhere. For instance, the quarterback at Tulane decided to transfer after one great year to Duke for a really nice NIL deal. The running back at Tulane, another example, he ends up at Oregon because he had a great year last year. So if you go and perform, they will find you. A guy named Fluff Bothwell is transferred to Mississippi State. He started his career at South Alabama. Gio Lopez is a guy that started at South Alabama. He ended up at North Carolina. I mean, so if you go and perform at a lower level, then, hey, they will find you. That's great. But then that makes things very difficult for the lower level schools because they're developing and investing in talent, and they don't have ridiculous resources. They're investing in talent, and that talent, at the first opportunity to go up, they go up. And so it's bad for the smaller schools. So I think any way that we can incentivize high school recruiting is extremely beneficial. But I also don't know how easy that can be done with the portal windows existing the way they exist right now in December and in May.
Final thing for Greg McElroy. Appreciate you carving out some time, Greg. But how do you feel? Because I think this is one of the biggest disagreements we're having, whether it's the federal level or presidents of schools. Or
what kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
ADs, how do you feel about the employee-employer relationship versus antitrust exemptions? How do you feel that that should work itself out by the time we, you know, potentially get a hold on these things?
Well, as a player, I would not want to be an employee. I just think right now your earning potential is uncapped. You can do what you want. I mean, there's so much freedom. It's not the real world at all. I mean, in the real world, there's actual marketplace. In college football, there's no transparency whatsoever. So there's nothing. I would not want it to be an employee. I'd want to earn as much as possible. But I do think from the school's perspective, it'd be beneficial if there was some employee protections. That could calm things down from a transfer standpoint. There could be some buyout clauses that are now in contracts. You could have non-competes. Like, there could be aspects of it that could be beneficial. So I can see it both ways. To be honest with you, I don't think there is a right answer.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I think there are things that we can do within the framework of the sport from a calendar standpoint, from an incentivizing graduation standpoint, with a, finding a way to make all NIL contracts universal and transparent. I think all of that can be beneficial. But as far as the, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to try to sit here and pretend that I am. I know that there are a lot of benefits towards the players becoming employees, but I also think that at the end of the day, there's going to be some devil in the details as well. So I think keeping it as is, but changing the structure surrounding college football would be more beneficial than declaring employees versus non-employees when it comes to the players.
Mm-hmm. Now, final thing, for those that don't know, Greg will be in Memphis coming up on Monday for the Memphis Touchdown Club. Go get your tickets at memphistdclub.com. When you get to Memphis, is there any food spots you have to, is there any musts? You've been in Memphis before. Is there any musts that you have to hit while you're in the city of Memphis?
Well, as a Southern guy, man, like I feel like I live in Birmingham, so I feel like I have great barbecue, but the Memphis barbecue just hits different. You know what I mean? So I always rock and roll and try to get as much barbecue as I can when I'm in town. I just love coming to Memphis. It's one of my favorite places to come and visit. And what I love so much about it is that it's just a melting pot of college football. And like you go to other places, if I'm going to Georgia, if I'm in Atlanta doing some speaking, like I'm talking Bulldogs, you know, if I'm in Nashville, we're talking Tennessee. If I'm in New Orleans, we're talking LSU. And if I'm in Birmingham, we're talking Alabama or Auburn. When I'm in Memphis, I could get questions about Toledo. I could get questions about Arkansas, or I could get questions about TCU. I mean, it's just a really a cool place when it comes to the amount of fans and the amount of different flags that fly when people are supporting their university. So I love that part of it, and I always love coming to speak to the Touchdown Club. I've developed some great relationships there over the years, and look forward to getting back there on Monday.
And you'll get questions about the University of Memphis, 21-5, my alma mater the last 2 years. What do you think about my Tigers?
No, I think it's great. I mean, I think they're – I don't understand why they're not in the Big 12 yet. I want them to be in the Big 12.
You know, maybe ACC's on the way. We'll see. I don't know. I'm sure you're going to have to field questions about that. You field them just about every time you come into town.
Yeah, well, I feel like Memphis is a great place, and I feel like it's a great university, and I think the alterations that they're making to the Liberty Bowl are amazing. I couldn't be more excited about that project and what that could mean for the future for Memphis football and what it means for the Liberty Bowl and how important that's going to be as well. So I think all the steps are and all the things are moving in the right direction. Now it's just about getting that opportunity. And if there's one thing we've learned in recent years with TCU's emergence and with UCF and Cincinnati getting invites to the P5, you just win, baby. Like
right.
Al Davis, just win and good things will happen.
For sure. Well, Greg, I appreciate it. We'll see you on Monday.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. He is Greg McElroy at Greg McElroy on X, national championship winning quarterback at Alabama, co-host of Mac and Cube with Cole Kubelik on Jocks in Birmingham. And he will be at the Memphis Touchdown Club on Monday at the Hilton Memphis. You can go check it out. Just go to Memphis Touchdown Club or memphistdclub.com to go get tickets. But there will also be three more speakers. It'll be fun. Make sure you go there. Again, memphistdclub.com to get your tickets for all of those events on the Mondays at Hilton Memphis. All right, now hour number two is on the way, and Jeff Calkins is scheduled to join on the other side. So without further ado, we'll grab a break and we'll talk to him next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.